Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson. It's Monday, and you know what that means. It's time for Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. On tonight's show, we'll talk with Indiana Cutters head coach Eric Anderson. We will talk IU football, the Indy 500, and everything that is going on around the state of Indiana. We will have our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update, and we'll look ahead and recap the week in IU athletics. So, let's talk sports. We'll start with Elio Castroneves winning his fourth Indy 500 on Sunday afternoon. The 46-year-old Brazilian is the fourth four-time winner of the greatest spectacle in racing, joining Al Unser Sr., A.J. Foyt, and Rick Mears. Castroneves won in 2001, 2002, and 2009. He is the fourth oldest driver to win the race. Al Unser Sr. was 47 in 1987, his brother Bobby Unser was 47 in 1981, and Emerson Fittipaldi was 46 in 1993. There were only two cautions in the race. Three drivers did not finish the race. This is the fastest Indianapolis 500 in history. The average speed 190.690, which breaks the record, with 187.433 in 2013. Castroneves passed Alex Palou with two laps to go to win the race, and he celebrated the way he always does by climbing the fence on the front stretch to celebrate with the fans. The 135,000 fans that were in attendance was the most since the COVID-19 pandemic started back in March of 2020. IU football continues to get transfers as they have added wide receiver Cameron Buckley from Texas A&M University. Buckley had 62 receptions for 877 yards, 4 touchdowns in 39 games, 4 starts in his career with the Aggies. 6'2", 190-pounder from Cedar Hill, Texas. He graduated from Texas A&M in December 2020 with a degree in university studies, and he missed the 2020 season due to injury. Buckley will have 2 years remaining with the Hoosiers, and he is the 8th off-season transfer for IU this season. IU football announced their 6 game times for the 2021 season. The Hoosiers will open the season Saturday, September 4th at Iowa, 3:30 on the Big Ten Network. The home opener is Saturday, September 11th against Idaho, 7:30 on the Big Ten Network. Saturday, September 18th, they will play Cincinnati at noon on either ABC or ESPN. September 25th at Western Kentucky, 8 o'clock on CBS Sports Network. October 16th, homecoming against Michigan State will be at noon with television to be determined. And October the 30th at Maryland will also be at noon with television to be determined. Former IU basketball player Jerome Hunter has announced that he will transfer to Xavier. Hunter is from Pickerington, Ohio, left the Hoosiers a few weeks ago, played 2 seasons for IU, sat out his freshman season due to a leg injury. He could have as many as 3 years left with the Musketeers. The Indiana Fever are 1-7 on the year as they dropped all 3 games this week, 85-69 against Washington, 113-77 at Las Vegas Friday night, and then lost again to the Aces Sunday evening, 101-78. The Fever stay on the West Coast tomorrow at Seattle, 10:30 p.m. on ESPN2, and Thursday at Los Angeles, 10:30 p.m. The Indianapolis Indians are now 11-12. After losing all 5 games at Omaha this week. Tuesday 3-1, Wednesday 10-7, Thursday 6-5, Friday 3-0, Saturday 6-2, and then Sunday 7-2. They will host Columbus starting tomorrow through Sunday. The Indy 11 are 3-1 and have 9 points. After winning at Louisville City FC 2-1 Saturday night, they will play OKC Energy FC 7 o'clock at Carroll Stadium Wednesday night, and Saturday hosts Memphis 901 FC at 7 o'clock. Wednesday's game will be on WNDY Channel 23, and Saturday's game will be on Wish TV Channel 8. High school sports time. Let's check the Big Boys Moving local high school scoreboard update. Big Boys Moving serves you with an attitude of gratitude. In high school softball, Edgewood finishes the year 22-6. They beat Indian Creek 26-1 in 5 innings, Owen Valley 6-5 in 8 innings, lost to Northview 7-0 in the Class 3A sectional championship game at Edgewood. Bloomington North ends the year at 10-14, beating Columbus East 12-5 before falling to Columbus North 4-1 in the Class 4A sectional semifinals at Shelbyville. And Bloomington South, 8-13 on the year, loses to East Central 16-2. In high school baseball, Edgewood 18-8. They beat Linton in the regular season finale 15-10, beat Indian Creek 6-2, and West Vigo 6-1 in the Class 3A sectionals at Owen Valley. They play Sullivan for the sectional championship. Bloomington North ends the year 15-12, beats Greenwood in the regular season finale 1-0, loses to Bloomington South 7-1 in the semifinals. And Bloomington South is 17-11. After beating Bloomington North 7-1, the Panthers play Columbus North in the sectional championship game at Bloomington North. Girls tennis, Bloomington North ends the year at 14-4, loses to Columbus North 4-1 in the regional semifinals at Bloomington South. Boys golf, Bloomington North 7th at the Providence Invitational. Edgewood beat Eastern Green 183-233. Bloomington South beat Seymour 295-354. Beat Floyd Central 304-330, and third at the Providence Invite. In the girls track regional at Bloomington North, Bloomington South won the sectional with 87.25 points. Amaya Davis won the 400 meters. Chloe Rowland won the 100 meter hurdles and the pole vault. Bloomington North was second with 86 points as B. Kakmak won the 800 meters and the 4x800 meter relay team won the title. Edgewood was fifth with 40 points. Anna Alyssa Crane won the 3,200 meters. The state finals are this Saturday at Ben Davis High School in Indianapolis. Boys track regional at Bloomington North, the host Cougars win with 118 points. J.Q. Roberts wins the 400 meters. Mason Childers, the 800 meters. Brock Murphy, the 110 meter hurdles. The 4x400 meter relay and the 4x800 meter relay win. Baylen Murphy wins the high jump, Matt Grannon the shot put. Bloomington South was third with 46 points, Edgewood 19th with 10 points. The state track finals are this Friday night at Ben Davis, and the unified track regional, Bloomington North was second, and Bloomington South was seventh with 9 points. That is a look at our Big Boys Moving High School scoreboard update. When we come back, we will talk to Indiana Cutters football head coach Eric Anderson. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
When you're preparing to buy a new home, the last thing you should have to worry about is the safety of your possessions. Allow Big Boys Moving to professionally oversee the transport of your precious belongings. Big Boys Moving is locally owned with years of experience. Whether your relocation is local or long distance, allow Big Boys to move you with an attitude of gratitude. Call today, 812-947-1479, or online at bbmoving812.com.
This is Danny with Weathervane Insurance Solutions. Not only is it especially important for our economy to support local businesses these days, but as your local independent insurance agency, Weathervane Insurance can shop you around with dozens of carriers to ensure you receive the most competitive price and, of course, the best customer service. Find us on the web at weathervaneonline.com. That's weathervaneonline.com.
Well, Welcome back to Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. It is time to welcome in my guest. He is the head coach of the Indiana Cutters semi-pro football team. Eric Anderson is my guest. Coach Anderson, appreciate the time. Thank you very much for joining me.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure. I've been looking forward to it.
So the Cutters have had two preseason games so far. Unfortunately, they have not come up with the victories. Lost to the Cincinnati Dukes in April 30-16. Lost to the Lake County Warriors in Indy 16-12. Let's start with your take on the Dukes game first. That was a rough start, but you know what? Second half, that we looked a lot better.
I think the Dukes was a great growing experience for our team. You know, we're still coming together. We had to drive out to Cincinnati and play a late game. It was an 8 p.m. start against a good team who had been coming off two games that we were their third game. It was our first game. So they got out in front of us, and they're a solid team. They've had a solid season since then as well. But they jumped out on top of us. We had to fight through some adversity. And I thought that was great for our guys. We kind of regrouped at halftime. We were able to come out and do some good things in the second half and make a small push and almost got back in the game.
The offense in that game, even though they got off to a slow start, they finally got going with Marquise Holt scoring a touchdown, Rob McCoy finding Sidney Moore on a touchdown pass, and then you have Sidney Moore kind of playing both wide receiver and quarterback, going back and forth. Talk about that quarterback competition that we have.
In semi-pro and just the years I've been coaching, it never hurts to have multiple quarterbacks. If you look at our depth chart, we've got six guys on the quarterback depth chart for a reason. Because it's semi-pro, you have guys that maybe come up with a conflict, can't make it to the game. Maybe somebody gets hurt. So we've been working multiple guys. In that Dukes game, we actually worked three guys. And we are still treating it as a preseason game. We've been trying to win the games. Don't get me wrong. And I feel confident with any of the quarterbacks we put in there. But at the end of the day, we wanted everybody that had been working towards reps, and the guys were at the top of the competition, to get some run and see what they could do. All three quarterbacks showed us a little something. We had Cal Williams. He got limited reps. Rob McCoy got some reps like you were talking about. And then Sidney started and got some reps. I think the best part about it all is just the way they support each other and look to help each other. You know, even though it's a competition, it's awesome to see them support each other and best practices and that type of thing.
Even though the defense gave up five passing touchdowns in that game, they still made a lot of plays. And the biggest play, obviously, in that game was Kyle Franklin's helmet hit that blew out that helmet on the Duke's running back. Have you ever seen anything like that?
I haven't. I've never heard of it, and I haven't ran across someone that had before. It was, you know, just one of those things. It was a perfect hit. It was clean. As Kyle made sure to point out to everybody, it was a clean hit, no flag. But yeah, that was a pretty amazing thing that happened.
Talk about his play, because he's been with the Cutters for a few years, and he's definitely one of the big hitters on defense, along with guys like Isaac O'Neal, Kenny Nally, Levi Smoot in that linebacker core.
Rex does a lot for us. Kyle Franklin, middle name is Rex, I believe. Everybody calls him Rex at least. So, but he's a mainstay at that middle linebacker spot. You know exactly what you're getting with Kyle. Run defender, above average, kind of underneath zone pass cover, but you do not want to meet him in the hole head on. You know, he's what I've loved to see. He's developed a really good side to side kind of movement. He doesn't get held up in the line. You know, he's finding his window, filling aggressively. Like I said, if he's got a beat on you, I do not want to be the running back that takes that shot.
We've also got a secondary that's been pretty good with guys like DJ Clayton, DJ Stevens, Isaiah Moore, Raquel Nunn. Talk yep. about all those guys that bring a lot of energy and get a lot of picks as well.
Yeah, I mean, I love the energy they bring. I got to coach against them on offense. So, you know, you make a little bit of mistake on offense, they're going to be sure to let you know about it. But that makes it fun. They've all got noses for the ball. Now, that doesn't mean we're not having our growing pains, you know, especially that first game. And I know we're going to transition into the second game, but the first game we had some growing pains, and that's to be expected. But all three of those, I know at least DJ Stevens, Clayton Nunn, and Isaiah, we think this is Zay's second year, but I coached him in high school. Raquel's third year, coached him in high school. And then Clayton, I want to say I've coached him 4 years, and DJ Stevens was back on the 14 team, 2014. So just to see them develop and kind of see them come into their own and actually gain experience, that is paying off. And that nose for the ball thing comes from experience. So, you know, they definitely have that, and they're putting it to good use out there.
Now, going into the Lake County Warriors game, obviously that was a back and forth game. Lazarus Bolton, you put him in. Big dude. I said after the game, you remind me of Ironhead Hayward. And he said, who is that? And I said, Google him. Obviously, do you know who that is? Do you remember him as
Ironhead Hayward? I don't. I must be the same group as Laz there.
I must be. Then obviously I am showing my age at that point. But it was a compliment for sure. I mean,
he's
the big dude that was a strong-headed running back. And obviously putting Laz in that goal line situations, man, he made it big for us.
Absolutely. Well, what I loved was, you know, the guy that comes to mind for me is Mike Allstott, just nimble, but going to run you over. You know, that's kind of what me, maybe a little Jerome Bettis. But essentially, the first time he got to carry a lineman got through, and he bulldozed him and got three. But it was awesome to see the second time, or maybe it was the third round. Maybe we gave it to him three times in a row. But the third time, the line kind of figured it out, man, and it parted like a Red Sea, and he was able to kind of prance in. But the first two were really physical runs and kind of issued his dominance there, which is awesome to see.
Sidney Moore found Juwan King on like a slant, and he went 75 yards. Juwan has definitely improved, obviously, as a wide receiver. He's getting more attempts this year, I feel, than he has the last couple of years. So talk about Juwan's improvement.
Yeah, this is King's, I believe this would be his third year. I say a gym rat, even though I think it's different for football, but he's always working, you know, whether it's a bit of gym work, whether it's field work, watching film. He's got one of our highest minutes watched on film. So he's putting in the work, and I think he's slowly improving his mindset as well. The other part of that, you know, he's gained the confidence of the quarterbacks, you know, so we've got a couple good receivers. If they're taking attention away, you know, putting attention to one side of the field, that leaves us with Juwan on the other side of the field. So you got like maybe Dex or our running backs working one side of the field. And then we've got King and a few other guys that can work the backside. That's huge for our offense. So him improving and being able to produce in the backside is going to make it tough for defenses. They're going to have to choose that specific play. If I could speak on it for a second, I really liked because it was a team effort. First off, the line protection was there. Second, we brought a guy in motion and actually faked a bubble screen that created the window. Sidney stays in the pocket, delivers the pass. Not only did Juwan catch it, but he took a hit, was able to bounce off the hit. Then he outran three guys from the other team to score. So, you know, that was just a huge play for the team. And it was really a team effort, but yeah, Sidney and Juwan kind of made it look good at the end.
One guy that you mentioned, Dex Grimble, he's not been able to find the end zone yet, but second-year player, and what an athlete that guy is.
Oh, yeah. Dex is going to get his. And, you know, I think a great athlete, great player, great person, I think can't be understated. It's just he's there for his teammates and his family. And, you know, I love the man he's becoming as well. But he's being patient. He's not trying to press. He's not worried about it. And he knows eventually it's going to come, and we're trying to get it to him. And we tried multiple ways, both games. And, you know, he did some damage, more damage in the first game than the second game. But there's a lot that goes into that. So, but he's a huge asset for our team offensively in the return game and leadership wise. He's very important to our squad.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, more with head coach Eric Anderson after this quick timeout. This is Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network.
Are you spending more time at home these days? If so, then you'll want to consider having your carpets professionally cleaned. Brothers Carpet Cleaning has been the region's premier cleaner for nearly a decade. Their truck-mounted systems are the most effective to remove bacteria, allergens, and pet dander. Brothers Carpet Cleaning will professionally clean your carpet, tile, upholstery, and wood. When it has to be clean, call Brothers Carpet Cleaning. Online at carpetcleaningbrothers.com.
Are you concerned about your life insurance coverage during these uncertain times in history? I'm Adam Beasley with American Senior Benefits right here in Bloomington, and we can help you find the best coverage for you and your family. We work for you to find the best plan out of more than 150 companies. We can compare your existing coverage or start a brand new plan. From newborn to 89 years old, from term to permanent, we'll find what's best for you. Call us at American Senior Benefits, 812-631-2305.
Talking Sports with Nick Jenkinson on the South Central Indiana News Network. My guest, head coach Eric Anderson of the Indiana Cutter semi-pro football team. Coach, we were talking about the offense in that Lake County Warriors game. The defense came up big as well, with Tay Wells getting a fumble, DJ Stevens getting an interception. DJ also got a penalty that we all think was suspect. But the defense these two games has really come to life.
Yeah. Well, and I think it started at halftime of that Dukes game. You know, Coach McCool kept his composure and with the help of some of the D leaders, adjusted really well at the half. And I think when you come out after a half of adjustments, you just got, you know, caught off guard and you're down a couple scores, you adjust and you come out and you have success. I think that builds confidence, and it should. You know, Coach McCool's an awesome coach with tons of experience, but when the players have confidence in what they're doing, that's going to translate. We had a good couple weeks of practice, you know, and we really closed it off that Thursday before the Lake County game with probably, in my opinion, one of the most productive practices our defense has had for a while. And it translated. The back end was looking awesome. You mentioned it earlier. We had a pick or so, but really our DBs were tested the whole game and they kept making plays. The LCW tried to run on us. Here's our guys in the backfield making it happen. So it was just beautiful to kind of see that run defense mesh with the pass defense and just a huge step.
We get it going here soon with the Quad City Titans to start the Battleground Football League. 8-game regular season schedule. Every game is a must win.
Yeah, I agree. We're going to try to take it 1 week at a time. You know, we are needing a W. We want a W. Everybody's working hard for it. We hope it's on the horizon. We know those things aren't handed to you, so we're not asking for that. But these guys are hungry to get that W, and hopefully, you know, you get that first one and it gets a little momentum going. We see what we can do.
We're with the team in 2013 and 14 and won a championship. You came back in 2017 and been with the team ever since. One of the things, obviously, is you've got a staff this year. You've got Jay McCool as defensive coordinator, Cameron Breedlove, defensive assistant, Jared Malott as quarterback coach, and myself, media person and doing stats. And I know in past years, you haven't always had those people to be around. So how does that feel to have an actual staff put together for this season?
Yeah. I mean, it's priceless. I think our players would also give you a raving review on that. It's nice to have guys to kind of spread out the coaching. Guys want to be coached, and that's why I love our players. Everybody's coachable, but if you only got guys as opposed to, you know, five or six, it's hard to coach everybody and do a lot more at practice, and you can do a lot more in the games, and you can focus on things as opposed to trying to always, you know, take care of a large group. So, I mean, it's been invaluable, and I think the best part about it is the whole staff is getting along. I mean, we enjoy working with each other. If we're on a Zoom meeting for 4 or 5 hours on a staff meeting, it's an enjoyable thing, not a chore. So I think that's probably a great thing that's going to also transfer over. And hopefully, as coaches just talk about it a lot, hopefully our chemistry and us having fun and us being prepared, that trickles down. And we want that to be contagious for our players.
The roster always changes year to year, but one thing that seems to be consistent is you got a mix of veterans and rookies.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I mean, we've been working towards, you know, that ultimate goal of putting that championship product back on the field for a while. And it's a process, but the process does start over every year. You know, I mean, you got your returners and then you've got your new recruits, and that changes and it fluctuates. But I think that's part of the fun, you know, and that's the challenge, is part of the reason I left coaching. Are we going to be able to bring together our veterans and our rookies and all the personalities and egos? Can we make it into one? You know, one final product that we can really be proud of. I think we do a pretty good job, but we're still kind of waiting for that payoff. You know, may it be a championship ring or whatever that looks like. We're still working towards those goals.
You always have a saying at the start of the year. In the past, it's been champion. It's been less talk, more walk. This year, it's let's war. So explain what that means.
Well, it does play on the fact that, you know, as if you're looking at a sport that's similar to military and just generally the concept of war and battle. I mean, I think a lot of people would agree football has some similarities, whether it's the brotherhood or whether it's putting your body on the line. Obviously, you take the time to say, I'm not literally saying that, you know, we thank the troops and there's nothing we could the sacrifices them and their family make for us, there's no way to repay that. But we use WAR as an acronym. So it's a kind of play on words about the battle we're going to go through, but it's the acronym is We Above the Rest. And it's not to say we're better than the rest. It's to say we want to rise above. That's the other team talking trash to us, whether that's the refs making a bad call, whether that is something that's happening outside of the team that's trying to have a direct influence to the team, you know, something that's trying to come in and maybe ruin what we've got going on. Whatever that is, we want to be above it. You know, if we worry about us and we're above all that other stuff, I feel like we're going to have a really good shot to compete with any team. But it's controlling those distractions, you know, that distraction control. Do you have a strategy to stay away from the distractions, or do you let that kind of intermingle with your chemistry? And that's been a real big focus of ours this year, is just team first. You know, it's always team first, but every decision we've made this year, the team and everything that's going to come after that decision. So, you know, We Above the Rest is part of that. We say WAR because we're going into battle, but we're going together. You know, it's us above anything else that anyone can throw at us.
The Cutters are going to have a new home field this year. Let the fans know where we're playing.
Yeah, thank you for that, Coach Jay. We are going to be playing our home games at Danville High School. It's Danville, Indiana. It is a little ways away from Bloomington and even a little ways away from Indy. It's, you know, probably about 25, 30 minutes west of Indy. What do you say, about an hour and 15 from Bloomington? So, you know, that wasn't an easy decision for us. As you know, we're a you know, not-for-profit. A big part of the decision is we wanted to play on a really nice field. Bloomington South and Edgewood, we tried to get closer to home, and it just didn't work out because of logistics. Same thing with Martinsville. We had a really awesome experience last couple of years at Martinsville High School. They just weren't able to do it again. So we went searching, and Danville welcomed us with open arms. Beautiful turf facility. We play 4 home games there, so we're super excited about getting a chance to have a new experience at a new field, fresh start. And that's the last thing that kind of solidified the decision. I mean, there are public places and different places we could have found somewhere closer to Bloomington, but we wanted our guys and our fans to be able to see the game on a turf field, on a nice facility. That's what we promise to our players. You know, let's get under the lights, 7 o'clock kickoff out in Danville. First year team, Quad City Titans, are coming to town. It's definitely going to be fun. It's going to be a high energy game. And, you know, we expect a beautiful night out at Danville and under the lights. So I'm super excited about it. But, you know, for some of our fans, it'll be different. It'll be a small adjustment. Super, super proud of all the times we've had at Martinsville and Bloomington South and Edgewood. But we're really excited to start a new year here at Danville.
Well, Coach, I'm really excited to get going at Danville here against the Quad City Titans. Thank you for joining me. Of course, best of luck to the Cutters, and we'll do this again soon. Thanks for your time. Really appreciate it, Coach.
As you know, man, it's my pleasure. It's my pleasure, so I appreciate it. Yeah, I look forward to the next time we can do it.
Thanks, Coach. My thanks to Head Coach Eric Anderson for being my guest this week. The Cutters open the Battleground Football League season this Saturday at Danville High School at 7 o'clock against the Quad City Titans. IU baseball finishes the regular season 26-18, beat Ohio State 2-0 in the home finale, lost to Maryland in a doubleheader Saturday 4-3 in 10 innings and 5-2, and won the regular season finale Sunday afternoon 7-3. 8 athletes will advance to the NCAA Track and Field Championships in Eugene, Oregon, from IU June 9th through June 12th. They competed in the NCAA East Regional in Jacksonville, Florida. Delta Gamma won the Women's Little 500 bike race, and Jetlock won the Men's Little 500 race. Those were held last Wednesday at Bill Armstrong Stadium on the IU campus with no fans. And the Josh Burton Memorial and Fireworks Show at Bloomington Speedway, scheduled for last Friday night, was rained out. Thanks for joining us this evening, and thanks to our sponsors. On behalf of the entire team here at the South Central Indiana News Network, my name is Nick Jenkinson. Join us throughout the week on social media and every Monday night right here for more Talking Sports.
This was a production of the South Central Indiana News Network.